a little bit of a message, and just to get us thinking and get our, as a church, get us thinking about youth work, about young people, about and that kind of agenda, which I really believe is on God's heart. A bit of context. So I work for Limitless. Limitless is, as John said, it's the youth department for EM churches across the UK. And a piece of research went on back in 2015 that found out there's 550 Elim churches across the UK, this being one of them, of course. Across those 550, there's at least 100, but probably more, that don't have any kind of youth work going on within their church. So as Limitless, we kind of said, well, we need to do something about that. We need to address that situation. That's where the whole project, Limitless Pioneers, you can see on the bottom corner there. This project is called Limitless Pioneers. The vision is across the next 10 years is to plant 100 new youth ministries out of these local churches. And this will be one of the first ones, actually. This will be one of the pioneer of the pioneers, which is really exciting. So just to let you know what the whole thing is about and why we're doing this project. Now, the word pioneer, I looked into this a little bit and to see what it is about. The word pioneer from the dictionary means the following. It is a person who is among the first to explore or settle a new country or area. So a person who goes to a new place and starts something new or explores that and finds out what it is. Now for a moment, I want you to indulge me for a moment, that's okay. I want you to imagine the town of Stratford-upon-Avon, okay? Imagine the area that's around us. Now, you are going to know that much better than I. I want you to think about the streets, about the schools, about the shops, about the different places around this place. Okay. Now, it's exactly as you imagine it, apart from one difference, one key difference. There's no Christians. There's no churches. There's no kind of Christian influence in this town. So imagine the town for me. Like I said, indulge me for a moment. Apart from there's no church, no Christians, nothing going on. Then we as a group of people, we as this church, we come, we decide we're going to settle in this area, okay, in this unreached place with no Christians whatsoever. We're going to settle and we're going to begin to reach out or begin to do things within this town. What's the first thing that we're going to want to do? What's the first thing that we as the local church are going to want to do? Well, I'm telling you, the first thing we're going to want to do is we're going to want to tell people about the love of Jesus, aren't we? We're going to want to let people know that we're here. We're going to let people know in the community that we're people of peace. We want to let people know in the community that we are here to serve them and to show them the love of Jesus in practical, in tangible ways. We'd be looking to reach into that unreached area, which actually, like I said, in this context would have been a completely unreached town that doesn't know Jesus. We'd want to do that, wouldn't we? When there is an unreached people group, it is our responsibility as followers of Jesus to go and tell them about the love of Jesus. We're going to have my next slide up, please. Matthew 28, verse 19. Hopefully you'll have heard this scripture before. It says the following. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, those were Jesus's, they were his last recorded words before he ascended back up to heaven. Now, I think the last words that people say before they go to earth are pretty important, aren't they? Before they leave earth are pretty important. And those are the things that he said. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, of all nations. This church has a largely unreached people group, doesn't it? There's a largely unreached people group that need to be reached across this town. Now, I'm talking, of course, about teenagers. I'm talking, of course, about young people. It's great to see so many children. I love churches with children. It brings its chaos and fun, doesn't it? I absolutely love it. It's so good to see. So good to see. So one little lad was stealing some of my money before. So we got it back. It's okay. Haven't we all? But it's so good to see. But actually, obviously, you'll see the gap. There's a gap here of teenagers, isn't there? There's a gap where we're not seeing young people in this church. Now, as this church and as this church and Limitless partner together to make this work happen and to get into the local schools and to doing all those kind of things, We are looking for what? We are contending for various things. We're contending for salvation. We want to see young people in this church on fire for Jesus, don't we? We want to see young people just giving their all for God and really stepping out for him. And we want to really believe the words of the Great Commission. We want to go into all nations. And actually, we believe the young people, they're a massive part of that. We want to go and make disciples of all young people, of all teenagers across this town. I want to tell you about a group of people. Can I have my next slide up, please, again? I want to tell you about a group of people. And hopefully you'll be fairly familiar with this group of people, okay? They were all men. Some had jobs. Some were fishermen. Some were tax collectors. I'm, of course, talking about the 12 disciples, okay? And hopefully you've all heard about these guys. And now that they were called by Jesus to become his disciples. I'm going to read a bit of scripture in Mark 1, verses 16 to 20. If you want to follow along, there's just a few verses. Mark 1, 16 to 20. It says the following. I'll allow you to get there. So it says in Mark 1, starting at verse 16. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into a lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. While he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Now, the calling of the first disciples was a real significant moment, wasn't it, within the life of the church. And we see that, obviously, after when Jesus ascended back to heaven, the work that the disciples did in and across that area and across that region. When the disciples were first called, they were first called to do a load of different things. But they were called to give up their families, to give up their possessions, to give up the things they held dear to, and to do these things. The first disciples were real pioneers for their time. They really stepped out and did things which were foreign at that time. Now, you may be saying, Jamie, it's lovely to hear about the 12 disciples, but what significance has that got to do with this morning? Well, the reason I talk about these guys is because scholars believe that these guys were mostly in their teens or early 20s. So, when Jesus was deciding the people that he wanted to advance the gospel and to take that on from when he left this earth, who did he appoint? He appointed a youth group to do that. He appointed, like I said, they were mostly teenagers or in their early 20s at the eldest. That's who he sent out to tell people about the gospel. And I just find that so exciting, not just as a Christian, but as a youth worker. I just think, wow, Jesus decided to send young people out and do that. I suppose my message this morning is really simple and hopefully fairly clear. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us as a church, isn't it? And actually, why do I believe so passionately in young people? I was invested into as a young person, and I really know that if I didn't have that investment in my teenage years, I wouldn't be standing here today. And that's why I believe as a church, as a group of adults, our responsibility is to be reaching out to young people and to show them the love of Jesus in any way, shape or form that can do. I'm convinced that young people are a vital part to play in the advancing of the gospel in 2017 in this town. And I'm so excited that your church is on this journey with us as we begin to go forward this morning. Now, there's lots of different stats you'll hear about youth work in the UK. And I'm just going to share a few different things about youth work in the UK. Some of it will be really exciting, hopefully. Some of it may make you think, wow, we've got a bit of a challenge on our hands. Okay. Now, can I have the next slide, please? A recent survey of 11,700 churches discovered that nearly 48% have fewer than five under 16-year-olds in their church. Fewer than five. Now, you can see already there's a whole load of under 16-year-olds in this place, which is great. But across the church, 48% have less than that. That scares me. That scares me as somebody who, not just a youth worker, but as a Christian. Like I said, we know that across the 550 Elim churches in the UK, there's at least 500 that don't have any young people. So actually, Elim's doing okay. Elim's batting above the average. But we still aren't content with that. We still aren't content until we see 100% of our Elim churches with young people and youth groups in it. That's what we're contending for. Now, I want to ask you a quick question. Okay, hands up if in here you became a Christian before the age of 18. Hands up if you became a Christian before the age of 18. Okay, keep your hands up. Have a quick look around for me. That's a large percentage of the church, isn't it? It's a large percentage of the church. Okay, which is really good because it backs up my next slide. Next slide, please. The next slide, and this is a piece of research in 2012, says 72% of Christians come to faith by the age of 20. By the age of 20, 72% of Christians come to faith. And another bit that is even, it leads on. Another piece of research states that 86% of people who come to faith in the UK are under the age of 25. So 86% are under the age of 25 years young. These figures, I think, show a whole array of different things. It shows that when we're, and most of you know this, when we're teenagers, when we're young adults, it's formative. We make big life choices, don't we? We decide on which college we're going to go to, if we're going to go and do an apprenticeship. We decide if we're going to do a degree and how that's going to look. We decide what our future career is going to be. Quite often we decide our life partner and those kind of things. And also, the statistics show that we decide a whole array about faith. We decide whether faith is going to be an important thing for us or not. Statistically, it's harder to reach adults than it is to reach teenagers. Hopefully that backs it up. And that's something that, again, we need to be thinking about as we reach out into this community of young people. Now, a very, very, very recent piece of research. Okay, that's on there already. It was this year, Hope Revolutions in 2017, did a piece of research amongst Christian and non-Christian young people. So across the UK, 1,169 non-Christians, 11 to 18, when asked, 16%, which is roughly 1 in 6, wanted to know more about Jesus. 1 in 6 wanted to know more about Jesus. And a further 16%, so again another 1 in 6, were open or interested to an encounter with Jesus. Now, 16%, 1 in 6 may sound low, but consider this for a moment. I did a bit of Googling this week, okay? And I found out that in Stratford-upon-Avon, in the 2011 census, there were, between the ages of 10 and 19, there were 13,263 young people in the Stratford-upon-Avon census. So that means that they're roughly, if we're going by that piece of research, they're roughly 2,122 young people between the ages of 10 and 19 who want to hear more about Jesus. Over 2,000 young people who want to hear more about Jesus. That's exciting, isn't it? That's really exciting when you hear those numbers. And now, can I have the next startup, please? Oh, you're ahead of me. It's great. The Stratford-upon-Avon School. Again, I did a bit of research. From this very building, AA route planner tells me is 0.5 miles from this very building, the Stratford-upon-Avon School. There are 1,500 students within that school. Again, if you break that down into 16%, that means within that school alone, there are roughly 240 potential disciples of Jesus in that school. That's exciting, isn't it? 240 who are open, who want to know more about Jesus. Now, that's not me saying that by this time next year, you have a youth group of 240. Do you want to put that out there? But it shows that there's a potential out there, doesn't it? And actually, if you think about what the stats and the research say, it says that there's a further 240 who are open to some sort of a spiritual encounter. That's 480 young people. Wow. How exciting is that? A piece of scripture for you. Next slide, please. This is where the harvest field gets so important. Matthew 9:37-38. Jesus says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." I believe there's a ripe harvest field there. In the schools, in the community, that research, which is so recent, shows there's a ripe harvest field. But man, we're going to need workers if we're going to have 240 young people on our hands. If we're going to have even 100, even 50, even 30 young people on our hands who don't know Jesus, we're going to need workers. Now, I've already kind of shared, and as has John, about the need for people to get involved in that youth work. And if you can do, please, please, please come and speak to me or to John at the end. However, what do we also need? We need people who can pray. We need people who can pray for us to help us in that work, to pray for favor in the schools, pray for all these kind of things that we're going to need as we go on this journey. And be prepared, ladies and gentlemen. I quite often find that when we're praying and we're asking for workers, he could be saying it's you who needs to get involved. Be prepared for that as we pray those kind of prayers. I've met with the leaders of your church. I've met with Phil and Jess. I've met with the two or three young people that you have in your church already. And it excites me they're on this journey. It excites me they are saying, you know what, Jamie, Limitless, we want to partner with you. We want to have you come into our church and to make this work happen, which is so exciting. I firmly believe that as we begin to reach out to young people, we will begin to see young people coming into a youth work on a midweek night. We'll begin to see young people coming into this building on a Sunday morning. One thing I do believe we need to be up for is up for change. Who's up for change in here this morning? Come on. Exciting. Can I tell you something? And you'll all remember being a teenager, yeah? Some of you maybe a few years a lot longer than me. That's all I'm saying. Let me tell you that this is true for people, but for particularly young people can be raw, they can be messy, and they can be unpredictable. But man, I would much rather see a church with raw, messy, unpredictable young people in, hey, than not. And let's begin, as we think about that, as we think about that journey, already seen it with children already, how can we be accommodating and thinking of these young people on that journey to make them feel this is a place they're welcome and they feel safe in? Oasis Christian Centre, I have a plea for you. These next 12 months, we're going to be journeying with you to begin some sort of a youth work, to begin some sort of a youth project. As we do so, I ask for a few things. I ask that you're going to embrace the stuff that we're going to be doing within your church. The leadership of this church are already committed to putting things into this, to time, effort, money, resources, whatever that is going to be. They're already committed to doing that. I just ask as we begin to reach out, and I'm going to be hopefully bringing more updates along the year as to how we're going and to what's happening. I just ask that you begin to embrace the challenge that's ahead. It's an exciting venture, isn't it? It's exciting to think that this time next year, this church could be active in schools. It could be running an active youth group. There could be more young people in here in this very building than are in here right now. As we begin to think and let our spiritual eyes cast around this town, let's be thinking about what God wants to do in and amongst the youth work in this church, in this town. I'm going to pray. I'm going to hand back to John. Okay, so we'll just bow our heads in prayer for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I want to thank you so much for this church's heart. This church's heart is clearly to reach people. This church's heart is clearly to show you in a relevant way to this community and in this time. And I pray as we begin to partner, as we begin to reach out into the schools, into the local places that young people hang out in, into the youth of this area, I pray for favor, Lord Jesus. I pray, Father God, that you're going to help us to show the young people of this town your love in a tangible, in a real relevant way. Help us, Lord, never to be afraid to share your gospel. helps me never afraid to show the truth of what salvation means, but also help us to really be looking for opportunities wherever we go to share the love of Jesus in this town, in this church, with the young people. Ask and pray these things in the mighty and precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.